is ESPN 97.5, brought to you by Zadda Jewelers, KFNC, and 97.9 HD2, Mont Bellevue, Houston. Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
All right, welcome back. It is that time of the week. Josh Pate College Show on YouTube. Josh Pate presented by Walmart every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart. That's who knew. Josh Pate. Josh, biggest game. How about the Aggies are in a game, a big football game. Going to LSU where they don't win. They never win. But I can tell you this, Josh, LSU is done with Brian Kelly. Done. I'm in a LSU family. My wife and all her siblings went there. My daughter went there. We are LSU people. Everyone I know is done with Brian Kelly. This could be, if he loses this game, this could be, I don't know. Does he make it through the season or do they wait? I don't know.
So what you're saying is true. What you're saying is an accurate representation of the LSU fan base. Let me put it that way.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
I was doing some stuff this morning. I was doing some national stuff this morning, and they were asking me, you know, sort of the way the generic onlooker would ask. And the generic onlooker would say, Brian Kelly's had a really successful career. They're 5-2. Why the hot seat talk? Because it doesn't make sense to an outsider. You've really got to understand the dynamics to understand that guy's got very, very little goodwill built up with the fan base to begin with. There's no equity built up. They've been a disaster offensively this year. That's his guy. Joe Sloan was his decision at offensive coordinator. And all the good things about that team right now defensively were not his decision. He didn't hire Blake Baker. I got told, by the way, I've never shared this before. Baker spoke with Kelly one time before he got hired. It was not even Brian Kelly's move. So the good stuff down there is not Brian Kelly. The bad stuff is Brian Kelly. And if they lose Saturday, here's the thing about that. That just moves them to 5-3, okay? And his buyout is north of $50 million.
Woo!
So even if you don't like Brian Kelly, okay, at some point you got to remove the emotion and you got to make a business decision here. Do we have the money, firstly? And even if we do have the money, second question, do we have a definitive upgrade? Do we already know what's in the other hand over here before we fire Brian Kelly in the left hand? And if the answer is no, I don't think you can just go and light the money on fire. So
yeah.
Now there is an alternative there. If you've been told by a really, really slam dunk candidate, hey, I'm coming. When that job opens, I'm coming. Well, then do it. Absolutely do it. I just don't know that they know that yet.
What about Joe Brady? Let's go back to a name from the past, 2019, architect of he's been in the NFL with the Saints. Then he went to LSU, then Carolina. Now he's with the Buffalo Bills. Then he's going to – would they like to run it back with a guy like Joe Brady? Because remember now, this same LSU fan base had an actual Cajun – who won a national championship with one of the greatest teams we've ever seen, and they were done with him in 2 years.
I have no idea how Joe Brady would be as a head coach.
Yeah, I don't.
They better. I mean, if they know, if they've got a good idea and they better, then sure. It'd obviously be an easy-ish sell for the fan base in terms of name recognition, but I don't know that this goes back to my philosophy, and I may have to change this philosophy because of the way the landscape is changing. There are about 10 places where I would just never hire a coordinator as my head coach. Now, I have that philosophy about Georgia. Georgia's one of those places. Well, Georgia did hire a coordinator. It just turned out he was Kirby Smart, and he's a legend. Okay, Oregon did it with Dan Lanning. Lanning's a winner. Those are exceptions to the rule, in my opinion. And I look at it, even with Georgia's case, with Kirby, I looked at it then, and I said, do you have to do that? Like, do you have to take the risk of letting a guy experience being a head coach for the first time on your dime? And it worked out for them, so good for them. But I look at it, and I say the same thing about LSU. I just don't know if a place that big and a place with that many options has to take that kind of risk. But if you don't view it as a risk, if you just think you've got a slam dunk, you've got the next Kirby, for example, offensively, then by all means do it. I don't know that because I've never sat down with the guy. I've never looked him in the eye. I've never had him lay out his entire organizational plan. I've never watched him deal with people. So I'd be very ill-qualified to even know if that's the case.
You know, it's not helping Brian Kelly what Marcus Freeman is doing. Soon as he leaves, Notre Dame goes to the playoffs every year.
Hey, remember when he got beat up when he first got there and people were like, Marcus Freeman's in over his head.
Yeah, well.
And now look at him.
Look at him. Now.
I mean, granted, that's a
and
team
LSU
of two
hasn't
this year,
sniffed. Has LSU, since Brian Kelly got there, hasn't sniffed about even close to the playoffs. So they're done. What about this Aggie team, and what about this game on Saturday? Tell the Aggies. Oh, we got a bunch of Aggies listening right now. What do you see?
I think they're going to win the game. I think it sets up pretty terribly for LSU, actually. I'm very surprised. I'm not surprised the line is as low as it is. I know the history of this matchup. I know Kelly, I think, is 20-1. In night games down there. I get it. Here's what's going to happen, though. They got to snap the ball eventually. And you guys know as well as I do, Death Valley at night is everything it's cracked up to be. However, if you tilt the game, it tilts on the home team. Alabama did this last year. They went in there at night, tilted it, and instead of being a detriment to Alabama, it was a detriment to LSU. It emptied out quick. The people who remained just kind of remained so they could scream at Brian Kelly. And so if you do that early, you're good. But I look at it from a matchup standpoint. LSU still can't run the ball. They're in the 100 teams, I think, in critical rushing. That makes them the lowest play-action rate team in the SEC because no one has to respect the ground game. You're facing a top-10 pressure team in A&M. Your left tackle is out. And unlike some of these other teams like Florida, where you could screw around and still win because they've turned the ball over five times, some of these other teams you've played, you know, you could score 20 and win. A&M's going to score. Okay, A&M could score 24, 27, 30 on you. I don't know that LSU can match points with them without turning the ball over and taking ridiculous risks. So I'm taking A&M to win the game. It's actually one of my stronger leans of the week.
Really? Okay. UCLA. They're on a bit of a roll, and they're going to Indiana. Indiana's laying 25.5. Is that too much?
Well, if I had to bet the game, I'd bet UCLA. The problem, well, the risk, you know, the reason there's a little hesitation in my voice is I don't know if this is just sustainable or it's kind of a sugar high, and eventually it's going to run out of steam, this little run UCLA's been on. And I don't know that I want to pay to find out against Indiana. Now, the other thing that's happening there, this has happened a million times before, this is just a million and one, is a team is dealing with expectation to this caliber for the first time. Now, I don't even count last year. Last year, Indiana still had a ton of doubters. Even when they were doing what they were doing, people, including me, said, this is mainly the product of a soft schedule, and once they get to the playoff, they'll get beaten. And we were right about that. Not that they were a bad team, but we were largely right about that. This year, people are saying Indiana could make the national championship game. I'm looking at some of these playoff brackets out there. They got a first-round bye. They're going to the Big Ten title game, which is going to happen. So there's real expectation on this team. How do you deal with it? The air is going to start to get thinner here, and now this is not supposed to be a big game. All right, this is a layup game. This is get out of it healthy, work on some stuff. Like, that's the kind of game this profiles to be. So do they handle business? Are they professionally mature enough to do that? And knowing full well a 17-point win still wins but doesn't cover, I would just maybe take the points. But more so than anything, I think you learn a lot. Even if Indiana wins, if they win and they're loose, I learn a lot about that as it relates to what you're capable of down the road.
I love Kirk Cignetti, and it's some would say there's an arrogance there. I would say it's just, you know, it's a confidence that is trans. If you look at how Kirk Cignetti came up, he came up literally the old-fashioned way. He went from small school for high school. There's JUCO in there. I think Elon was in there, a small school. Like, he's come up a way that he's seen it all. He has no fear. He knows that he can win at any level. It's like he's unlocked this magic. He's like, I know the magic formula now, so I don't have a fear because if I get the right guys, I know the formula to win. Where do you rank Cignetti. And look, I know it's a dangerous contract. Once you look at Jimbo Fisher's contract, James Franklin's, we understand it's always dangerous in college football the way these contracts are going down. But I told you last week I wanted to talk about Cignetti. I think this is one of the finest coaches in college football, and I applaud Indiana for what they tried to do. I don't know if it's going to be enough in the future to keep them there.
Oh, I think it'll be enough to keep him there. I actually think he and his representation fleeced the university. And that's me acknowledging he's one of the best in the game right now. I don't think the best in the history of the game warrants that kind of deal in terms of longevity, only because you can continue to re-up the deal at 4 or 5 year increments.
Sure.
So to guarantee that much money for that length of time is pretty insane.
For any
to me,
coach, do you think it's insane for any coach, Josh? It's stupid for any coach. Like, the Aggies didn't have to do it with Jimbo Fisher, and look where they got themselves. I don't know why anyone would extend beyond 5 years ever for a coach.
Yes. I just said, I think it would be insane for Alabama peak Nick Saban dynasty to extend that far. So I'm applying this to anybody. Yeah. It's just insane to do. It also makes it really hard to continue to argue how cash-strapped you are, and not as a university, as a sport, and how you can't do this, and how we can't afford that, and then you continue to just spend monopoly money in hypothetical buyouts and whatnot. So anyway, that's independent of how good I think he is as a coach. I think he's excellent as a coach. The only thing I wonder is, and there may be nothing to this, but the concept of what he's doing in Indiana is still so new. I haven't seen the sport adjust to it yet. If that makes any sense.
What's the concept, Josh? What concept?
Do what now?
What's the concept you're talking about?
So the concept is in very general sense. Okay, so sometimes a guy comes in. I remember when Malzahn first got to Auburn. He lit the world on fire in 2013. They went all the way to the national title. All right, so everyone thought it was just a new day that had dawned in the SEC, and this is going to be insane. They're going to run the SEC. And they were still good, but it turned out 2013 was the closest they would ever get because the league started to adjust to it. Now, what Sig's doing, to me, is more organizational than just a system or anything like that. But I still wonder, take the unique, special things about him, about Indiana, what they have now. How, if at all, does the Big Ten and college football adjust to it? And is this just the norm? Are they just going to be in it every single year? They may be. This may just be an entirely new dynamic in being written in the college football history books. That's the only thing that I wonder about, and that's a very generic thing. That's not even a specific thing. Otherwise, yeah, he's got my stamp of approval.
Well, as long as he keeps on getting quarterbacks like he has been.
Well, he portaled this one in, like, you know.
Yeah. He brought him in. Well, he's going to have to. You have to keep doing that. You have to. All right.
Let me give you one example there, really quick. Okay. So this past cycle, take Auburn. This is a second Auburn example, but take Auburn as an example. They're in the market for a quarterback. People knew that Sig was after Fernando Mendoza. All right, I think the mentality was, all right, well, if Indiana's after him, I mean, we should be after a different caliber player. Like, Indiana has to settle for guys we don't. Well, in the future, now that he's shown you twice that he out-evaluated you, the market or the sport may adjust in a way that they find out who Sig is after, and then the big-time programs go after that kid. The same way in recruiting. You know, James Madison has a kid committed, but then Georgia offers him. Well, then Bama, Texas, Ohio State all offer him, and James Madison doesn't land the kid. Just that's the kind of subtle stuff that you watch. Is he always getting the same kind of player that he's able to get the first two cycles?
Well, but is Mendoza going to be that guy at Auburn? Or is it Cignetti, what he's doing, is making these quarterbacks maybe even better than they can be?
Yeah, that's the Lane Kiffin question, because Trinidad Chambliss is doing good at Ole Miss. Would Trinidad Chambliss from Ferris State be doing that at Auburn? Right. Yeah, that's the follow-up side of that question.
Right. Now, so, okay, Lane Kiffin. Keep hearing Florida. Ole Miss put out, this is what Lane said at SEC Days about Oxford and how much he loves it.
But remember when the rumors were, John, that he wanted out of he wanted out of Ole Miss? It was only a couple years ago.
Right. But then at SEC Media Days, how much he loves it with raising his kids there and everything else. What is Lane? Is this going to catch up with Ole Miss? All of these rumors and everything going on?
Well, we just talked about Kurt Cignetti. Kurt Cignetti was rumored heavily the moment the Penn State job came open. What did Kurt Cignetti do to quiet those rumors?
Signed a big contract.
That's right.
You get the agent out there saying, hey, guys, I don't know if you know, but Kurt, well, you better watch him at Penn State. Oh, give him anything he wants. But you think Ole Miss would do that, though, with Lane?
I sure do. I think they're already in the process of doing it. I think he's probably got something on his desk right now. So, frankly, I don't care what he says. I don't care what Ole Miss says. All that's performative. The best statement that you can make to show that you're not going anywhere is to sign your name on a piece of paper. Until he does that, Florida is very much in play. I don't think he's going to do it in the near future. Therefore, the Florida job will be in play. I think Lane Kiffin very much enjoys the theatrical aspect of this. I know that's not the Lane we know. I know, but there's a part of him that's like that. Look, you got a bunch of opinions out there on this. I don't think he's made his mind up on that. I think he may have this soft answer in his head or this lean, but you don't really find out where your heart is until someone says, here's the pen, either sign on the dotted line or not. That's really when you find out where your heart is. And I just think it's still in the abstract to the extent where he knows his decision doesn't have to come for another month or two. I still think it could go either way.
Why is OU a 5.5-point favorite?
You put us on upset alert last week with Louisville at Miami, and Louisville got there and beat Miami. You've been pretty good with the upset alerts, by the way. Is Ole Miss should? I feel like Oklahoma should be on upset alert after we saw Ole Miss play really well for three quarters. This could be a pancake. They could be flat as a pancake coming out this week too, Ole Miss.
So I thought when I first looked at the slate on Sunday, I thought, this Lane almost got Georgia. He'll go get Oklahoma. I have inverted myself totally. I really love Oklahoma this weekend to win and cover, by over a touchdown. Wow. So here's where my mind's at on this. I think that people may have gotten fooled a little bit watching Trinidad Chambliss and that offense go into Athens and score basically at will to start the game. Georgia's a terrible pressure team. It's very antithetical to what Kirby Smart teams normally are. But I don't know that people are fully respecting that. This is the number one pressure rate team in the country they're going to face against Oklahoma. They just haven't faced a pressure team yet like this, because there isn't one like this. And then the other aspect where I expect Oklahoma may be able to control the game is I think they can crowbar Ole Miss's offense a little bit, and I think they can run the ball, which sounds weird because Oklahoma's not been a good rushing attack this year so far. They ran it okay last week at South Carolina and really salted a game away, which they badly needed. This is the 99th-ranked run defense in the country. You can run the ball on Ole Miss. And so I think they're going to shave possessions, and I think they'll just slowly put their hands around the neck of this game, and they'll end up winning it, and they'll end up covering. And it's the second leg of a back-to-back road stretch, by the way, for Ole Miss. And look, we saw Matt Rhule and Nebraska implode last week, and you will never convince me that the job rumors didn't have something to do with that.
I agree.
We saw Tulane. Tulane almost lost to Army. I think Summerall's name being out there has something to do with that. Well, Lane's name's been out there more than anyone. And look, I just think there's a lot to be said about it. So I actually like Oklahoma in this spot.
Let me ask you about a couple other ones, sneaky big ones. BYU at Iowa State, big one. BYU is 7-0. Iowa State 5-2. Iowa State is a small favorite. Talk about that one for a second, Josh. And also, do our Cougs have any shot at getting Kenny Dillingham's Arizona State team after Arizona State comes off that upset win last week?
Yes, they do. Arizona State has not been a good road team. I assume you guys saw Jordan Tyson is out for this game, by the way.
No. So well, remember that, right? That's at Arizona State.
It's at Arizona State, yeah.
Oh, my bad. Hey, Jordan Tyson's still out, so at least I got half of that right. I would still lean Arizona State, but yes, I would give him a puncher's chance, absolutely. That translates to I haven't broken the game down, and I'm giving you a very generic answer. I hope you guys picked up on that.
What about BYU? Have you had a chance to look at BYU and Iowa State? I know everyone's just going to automatically lean to Iowa State because, you know, Matt Campbell and Iowa State's tough at home and blah, blah, blah.
I don't know. BYU's pretty good.
I think BYU deserves that quarterback is a real problem.
Yeah. I lean Iowa State for different reasons. It's just a dynamics game for me. I've got them off a bye, and Iowa State's last two games before their bye were losses. I mean, going into a bye week off a loss is among the worst things imaginable when you play for a hard-nosed coach. And they come out of this bye at home, and they face a Brigham Young team having to travel after a huge emotional rivalry win. And I just think if there's going to be a time where Brigham Young starts to get popped, it begins here. Because, correct me if I'm wrong, I don't have their schedule in front of me, but I know they got Iowa State. They still got to play Texas Tech. They still got to play Cincinnati.
Yeah.
So we always knew their schedule was very backloaded. So even if we were talking in June, we would have mapped it out to say, and at the time we wouldn't have even known Retzlaff was going to have to withdraw, but we would have said, all right, let's tail Brigham Young early and just kind of roll the dice that Kalani Sitake will get him rolling, and then let's pick our spot where we start to fade him. I think after the Utah game is where we start to fade him. This is the game we would have circled anyway, even in June.
Yeah.
And I'm going to stick with the hypothetical conversation we may or may not have had in June.
Texas at Mississippi State.
Is that dead team walking? Is Texas just playing out the string from here on out? After you saw, again, I mean, the Kentucky game was so damning.
I couldn't believe the Kentucky. Well, I could believe that it was a close game, but to get outgained by, what, 200 and still win? Yeah. I don't know. And then Sark's getting questioned about play calling all week. I'm really worried about this game. Texas just can't score. So even if they do everything right, it's a close game. It's a really compacted game. I think about Mississippi State, how close they got against Tennessee, and how close they just had that game won against Florida and threw it away.
Yeah,
they need a win. They need a signature win. Levy's got to get one somewhere, and it wouldn't shock me at all if it were this game. I don't have a strong feel on it. I didn't bet on it or anything. I mean, I picked Texas because they're favored, because if you're on the fence, that's normally a smart default way to go, but it wouldn't surprise me in the least if we got a, you know, like a 16-12 Mississippi State win or something like that. I just wonder how many points do you need? Really, think about it.
Seven field goals you just put on us.
Woo. Yeah, I can't. I
how
can't
do you think Texas gets that many scores?
Goal line?
Yeah, how can Texas get 12? How are they going to get four scoring opportunities? That seems impossible.
Defensive scoring.
Defense, yeah.
Defensive points.
Turnovers.
Defensive points
matter.
Turnovers. True, yeah.
Where are you going this week?
I am walking down the street to Vanderbilt Stadium.
Hey!
I think it's called Commonwealth Stadium. I can't remember what it's called. Some sponsor, but it's Vanderbilt Stadium to us locals. I am going down there to watch Missouri come into town. I got to tell you guys, I picked Vandy over LSU last week. I have a sneaking suspicion that even though Vandy's the number 12 run defense in the country, they have faced a bunch of rush offenses in the hundreds, and I think that may be a little propped up. And I think Missouri can come in here and run the ball on them.
Yeah.
And Missouri's already, I mean, Diego Pavia, all due respect, Missouri's already faced Lenora Sellers. They faced Jackson Arnold. They faced the kid at Kansas, Jalen Daniels. None of them have rushed for over 25 yards against them. And they had multiple sacks against all of them. I think Missouri is very, very well equipped to deal with Vandy, and I think they're going to win the game.
Game day's going to be there. Eli was asked about it. He goes, they ain't there for us. They ain't, don't worry about it. They don't care about Missouri. All they care about is this Vanderbilt team. I think they're going to be ready. I think they're going to be
who's they?
Loaded for bear. Missouri.
Yeah.
Missouri's going to be ready.
Yeah.
Missouri will be ready. And then one more game. Meech couldn't have been dumber talking about Texas Tech's money. And they're going to Texas Tech after that loss at Arizona State. They're laying 37.5 Josh, to Oklahoma State, and I don't think that's even close to what Texas Tech is going to put on them.
It's bad, man. This is so sad. This is like an FCS-type point spread. It's like a lower-tier G5 FCS-type point spread, and that's basically what Oklahoma State is. But you're right. Somebody's going to get fooled into taking the points, saying, oh, man, it's a conference game. You can't be given 37. And then it is 68-10 midway through the fourth, and you're like, why didn't I understand? Why did I not understand how much blood was on their mouth, and they were smiling coming into this game?
Yeah. Joey McGuire ain't happy about Meacham talking about how much money Texas Tech is spending. I'm telling you that right now. So
keep our billionaire's name out of your mouth.
Yeah, out your mouth. as always, Josh, man, thanks. Great talking college football with you every week right here. Brought to you by Walmart. The Walmart you thought you knew is now new. Who knew? Walmart. Josh, as always, the Josh Pate College Football Show on
YouTube.
Don't
miss it.
Check it out. It's
first
great.
Look on Sunday is terrific. So you got to make sure you knock in on that one every Sunday for sure.
Yeah, we appreciate you, and we'll talk to you again next week.
All right, appreciate it, guys.
There is Josh Pate. brought to you by Walmart. Time for us to talk about Republic Boot. Time for us to talk about, I mean, this, these guys are unbelievable. They're so good at this whole boot thing. They're like one of the they're the OGs of the boot game here, but it's authentic.
They're bootmaker. Remember the bootmaker we met, John, who they brought
in? Oh, my God.
He's like considered, he was a,
yeah.
Remember he was like a religious man, and he said, my calling is making boots. It's some crazy story, and this guy was back there making boots when we were there. He was literally back there making the boots.
And it's, you talk about the workmanship. You talk about the detail. You talk about, I mean, how perfect these boots are. If you're going to custom boot now, this that take it could take 6 months. It could take nine. It could take 15 months. I customized boots, perfect for you, with any elephant, shark, sturgeon, rhino, ostrich, whatever it is. I mean, you're talking about the greatest workmanship that you're going to get in a boot. Now, you can get stuff now for Christmas if you want, for your clients or for your employees, whatever it is, work bags, backpacks, travel bags. They can get it done for you, but you got to do it now. If you want to have a party there, up to 200 people, it's awesome, awesome, awesome. There is nothing about this place that isn't Texas that isn't great. Okay, that isn't. And now you can also get the 1836 boots, but they can customize them for you too. So you're looking for boots, or you're looking to get rodeo ready, there's one place to go. 1133 East 11th Street in Houston, corner of Studewood and East 11th in the Heights, or republicbootcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
We're taking a break.
Okay, that's cool.
Broadcasting live from the Huntington Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Right now. No, not right now, Dale. Not right now. No Taquerias Rondas?
No, after John. After John Chill, you can do your Taquerias Rondas, which you've forgotten for the rest of the show.
Well, here's what we have to do. You need to ask John Chill about what his thoughts are.
Okay.
For the game tonight.
Okay, the game tonight, John Chill.
Yeah.
Because we got a guy who's going to come up, and he's going to get a $50 gift certificate if he picks the right side or the right under over for tonight's game. So, and we're going to put it on you. We're going to put it on you. What is the right side or right? Which is the which is better,
well,
under
who do
or
the
over?
Sharps like?
That's a lot of pressure, but I'll give you what I'm thinking. Right now, the Chargers are seeing about 70% of the money against the Vikings. Kind of like the Chargers. That's not my pick yet, but at home, I think getting beat up against the Colts last week, I think they rebound on Thursday night. My big pick will be take the under. The Chargers are 13. The under happens 13 out of the last 18 games when they're favored by 3.5 or more. And being it's the Thursday night trend, I'm going under 44.5
points. Isn't the trend tonight on Thursday night over, though?
Does it is this year, but we're going back. We're going to revisit it back to last year. But I think I like the 44.5 in the under tonight.
Under.
I think it's, yep, I'm going under tonight at 44.5.
Under 44.5. There you have
yep,
it.
Yep, that's the five-star special tonight. So, okay. Yeah.
Well, they're so banged up on that offensive line that I don't know how they're going to protect Herbert, if you want to know the truth. So you may be dead on there that this is going to be a punt game. And then, you know, is it Carson Wentz or J.J. McCarthy on the other side? Do we know?
Yeah, I think it's Wentz, and
it's Wentz,
you know, he's known to throw picks. I could see him driving down at a 20 and throwing a couple picks. You know, the normal routine.
There you go.
So, so that's what I like tonight. Yeah,
okay.
The under 44.5 tonight. So
what? There you have it. So when we pick the contestant, John Chill suggests the under. What kind of? Of course, you're in Louisiana. Are you seeing any A&M money?
Oh, we're seeing a ton of it. It's over 80% right now.
Whoa!
Yes. So we're seeing a ton of A&M money, and it's shocking. You know, I think everybody's given up on LSU here in Louisiana, and there might be a change here at the end of the season if this continues. But I mean, you kind of got to like LSU getting 2.5 at home. I mean, I believe it's a night game, you know, in Death Valley and all that. And, you know, how they played last week, I mean, you know they got to be a little sour after losing to Vandy. I think I was a year out of high school for the last time Vandy beat LSU. So, yeah, so I kind of lean in LSU. I know A&M's been looking good, and they're getting better each week. But, yeah, that's a tough game. But if I had to pick one, I'd go LSU and take the points at home.
You take the point, especially since 80% is on A&M. Wow, that's crazy.
Yeah.
That is crazy.
Another. No, go ahead. I was going to say.
Go ahead. No, you got another.
Yeah, big, huge one sides. Oregon over Wisconsin, 31.5. You know, Oregon's been playing better. I think the defense only given up like 13 points. The offense is scoring over 40. Wisconsin's just a fade team right now. They didn't look good last week. You know, they played Ohio State, but. You know, and they got the new unis on. I don't know if you guys saw them. They got the Grateful Dead unis coming out, I think, Saturday. So that'll be an interesting game. But I like Oregon there, I think, you know, along with the public on that one. I think you're just going to score at home, and they play well at home there. So
we just talked to Josh Pate, John, and I just think Texas Tech is going to destroy Oklahoma State because of the comments that Doug Meacham made. Yeah. And they lost last week at Arizona State. Whew, that's going to be a beat. That's going to be a beatdown. They're going to boat race them, I think. So 37.5. I ain't scared of 37.5. Is there money going? No. Which way is the money going?
Actually, it is Texas Tech. It's a little bit over 60 right now. But people are starting to get on there. And you're seeing it actually went up day over day. So you're starting to see some smart money get on that as well. So, it's definitely a play there. Minnesota, people like them at, that's close to 90% over Iowa getting 8.5. That's an interesting one there to see that kind of swing for that game.
Well, so Minnesota took care of Nebraska last week, so yeah. Are they a good football team? That's a question.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if it's because of the way Penn State, you know, Iowa barely beat Penn State last week, but Penn State still got players. I know they're going through some transition right now, but it's interesting to see that for that game, to see that type of handle on Minnesota, and especially at Iowa.
And what else you got? What do you got in the NFL?
NFL, if you look, Patriots, a lot of people are over the Browns. That's over 80% there. You know, New England's been playing well. I mean, you know, they're leading the division, and that's an interesting one there. And then also the Bills, -7. Kind of like the Bills going along with the public here, -7 against Carolina. Buffalo hasn't scored in the last 2 weeks. I believe, 14 last week, and I think barely, and they're averaging almost close to 30 the first few weeks. So I think this is a rebound game for Buffalo, get right game, and Carolina's a team that they can get right with. And
coming off a bye.
Yep, and Dallas is starting to get momentum. Of course, Dallas over. That's a tough one. At Denver, that's tough to play. I know Denver squeaked a lot of games and lost a lot of games in the last second, but you know, they are clicking. Their offense is moving, and that's also an interesting one. They're close to 80% too, in far as handles. So, those are mainly the football. Big weekend. NBA started. We got UFC. That's actually a day pay per view. Aspinall versus Gon. Kind of like Aspinall -355, and that's a big money. The only problem I have is he hasn't fought since July of last year, so I don't know if he's going to have a lot of ring rust, but I think one fight out of his seven went past the first round, so, and then he averages like 8 significant strikes per minute, which is insane. That's an insane stat to have. So if I would play it, I'm probably going to play under 2 rounds. I think either one's going to go at it in the first 2 rounds and just knock, one of them's going to knock each other out. So that's kind of my play there for the UFC. But yeah, if you want to grab some breakfast, it starts at 9 in the morning. Then I think the main event will be on at 1:30 in the afternoon. So unusual for a pay-per-view event. Usually the fight nights are like that, but that's what's going on there. And then NBA, kind of give you, it was weird. I get a report for change in lines, and Wembanyama after last night went from like I think 9-1 down to 3-1 for MVP. So it was interesting to see, the movement. I mean, I know he had the 40, but it's interesting how one game can influence, you know, the MVP betting and all that. But he looked good last night. So, but you get the NBA. We're following the news, of course, and see where that outcome comes that broke here about an hour ago. So that'll be interesting. You look at, you know, prop bets and see where that goes here in the next couple of months. I know, you know, college, I got away from it last year, and where prop bets will go with the NBA going forward. But
yep. Yeah, if you see anything like that, well, you should have bet them at 9, not 3. That's for sure.
Yeah.
Everybody who had them at 9 are going, yeah, look how smart I am.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Just stay healthy. That's all you can do. Just stay healthy.
So. That's it. Yeah. No blood clots this year. That's John Chill every week right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 DraftKings Sportsbook, brought to you by the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. John, as always, we appreciate it.
All right. See you guys. Thank you.
All right. I want to talk right now about the Golden Nugget Lake Charles. I want to talk about how much I admire. I love and admire, right? It's hard to do that for a building, but I do. I mean, they put the perfect structure there. Great hotel. Wonderful pool, golf course. If you haven't played the golf course, bring your clubs. Put them, and that's the great thing about it is too. You know, bring your clubs to Vegas. I mean, what a pain in the ass. Put on the plane, get them off the luggage. I got to carry them. I got to do it. You put them in the back of your car. It's in your clubs are in your trunk already. Boom! You drive down to Lake Charles, 2 hours and 15 minutes, and you're playing golf on a wonderful golf course, right? You got the DraftKings Sportsbook, which makes everything great because you got all your wagers for all the college. It's the best place to watch college and pro football. So you got everything, 12 restaurants. You got everything you could possibly need. It's just 2 hours and 15 minutes down the road. Stop already flying all the way to Vegas. You don't need it. You got a Vegas-style casino right here in Lake Charles. 2 hours, 15 minutes down the road. It's all costs is gas. GoldenNuggetLC.com, GoldenNuggetLC.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Hi, I'm Sean with Energy Texas, and I'm a customer too. I'm proud to say our rates are 17% below the national average. Every day, our team is focused on keeping costs lower for you. We take affordability personally because this is our home too. So we work harder and smarter to fight rising costs while also improving reliability for years to come. This isn't just my job. It's a commitment to my community. Together, we power life. Entergy.
Come experience the all-new vibe at Trulux. Beautifully renovated and better than ever. Don't miss Stone Crab Mondays. Sweet, succulent, and sustainable. Our medium claws are buy one, get one half price all day. Unwind in our newly renovated bar for our half-off happy hour and try our bold $59 three-course menu with seasonal favorites. Power lunching? We've got you. Two courses for only $36. Fast, fresh, and unforgettable. Come see and taste what's new at Trulux, ocean's finest seafood and crab. Your table is waiting.
Dream Rate Mortgage, the ultimate mortgage hookup. Visit 975loans.com.
NMLS number 2482473, equal housing lender.
Attention taxpayers, if you owe $5,000 or more in back taxes to the IRS, don't wait for the October 15th extension deadline. Your problems will only continue to grow. The IRS is using advanced AI tools to identify and collect unpaid taxes faster than ever, meaning tax debt collections will become increasingly aggressive. Call Priority Tax Relief now. Their experts fight back fast and are saving their clients millions in tax debt every month.
After speaking on my behalf with the IRS, my entire debt of $25,000 will be eliminated.
I owed over $50,000 and they settled it for pennies on the dollar. These guys are as legit as they come.
If you miss another tax deadline, you're stacking more debt on top of what you already owe with increasing penalties and interest. You now owe more today than you did yesterday. Call for your free consultation. Priority Tax Relief. Let's make your taxes our priority. Call 800-418-1404. 800-418-1404. 800-418-1404.
Priority Tax Relief. Hey, Lance Erline here. Allstate Windows and Siding knows what matters to Houstonians. That's why they're dedicated to earning your trust and giving you great value and service. Allstate Windows and Siding offers top quality products that protect your home from the toughest weather while saving you up to 40% on your energy bills. And right now they're offering 30% off windows and $2,500 off of complete siding jobs. Call 832-204-1936 to take advantage today. Call for your estimate, 832-204-1936, or go to allstatewindowsandsiding.com.
Jeremy Branham here. You've heard me talk about Pro Dunk Hoops and their drill-powered lightning adjust system that lets you raise and lower your goal in seconds. It's 10 times faster with zero effort. Right now, with your new Pro Dunk basketball goal, you can get the lightning adjust system for free. It's a $249 savings, but you have to call. You won't find this offer on the website, so call Pro Dunk at 281-351-9822 and mention ESPN. That's 281-351-9822.
All right, it's your chance. First one to call, 713-780-3776. We're not messing around with it. First one to call has a chance to win a $50 gift card from Taqueria Serrano's. Here's how you play. We will give you the point spread and the total for tonight's Thursday night game. You can either make a selection on either one, or you can try and fade me and let me make the pick. Last week I told you Cincinnati was the pick, and you decided to go the other way. That's your business, but you got nothing. You got nothing. But if you win, you can get a $50 gift card that you use at any of the Taqueria Serrano's locations. So, we have our contestant. Dell's just getting a name. Let me pull up the number for you here. I want to make sure we get a current updated number for the Thursday night game. It's the Vikings versus Chargers on Prime. Who we have, Dell?
Troy will join us.
Troy, here's what we're going to do. We're going to make this side. We're going to say the Chargers minus 3.5. I'm going to make you make a choice. Chargers minus 3.5. Chargers are minus 3.5 at home against the Vikings, kind of at home. I mean, do they ever really have a home game? And then you have the over-under is 44.5. Now, you can make a selection on either one of those or have me pick it. Either way, if I pick it, you want me to lose, and then you win the $50 gift certificate. You can pick it yourself, and if you win, you get a $50 gift certificate. But if you lose, as always, you get nothing.
Nothing.
Boop, boop, beep, boop, boop. Nothing. So what are we thinking here?
Yeah, so I'm going to take the Chargers minus 3.5.
Chargers land 3.5, minus 3.5, trying to come back from that Colts loss against Carson Wentz. I always think fading Carson Wentz is a pretty good one. Chargers are sitting at 4-3. It's going to be this is a big, big game for them. It's a big game for both teams, but Chargers really need this one after a good start against Kansas City to start the season. They do not look the same, and they got to have this one. So, Troy, we're going to put you on hold, get your information. You've got the Chargers minus 3.5, and we will see if he wins. So thank you to Taqueria Serrano's for giving us this opportunity to feed Houstonians who can pick winners. And that's who should eat. People who pick winners should eat. People who pick losers, you starve. That's
you want to eat?
It is.
Hold on.
What?
The last couple of times people have gone against you, Troy made his own decision. Where are you landing on this one?
Well, I just put an extra hook on it. I actually like the Chargers. I actually like the Chargers.
I just can't trust that offensive line.
As far as the over under, that's not my favorite pick though, because I put an extra hook on it so he would have to win or lose. So you're getting the worst of the number there with the Chargers. So if I looked at the over under, I actually would fade John Schill and say over in this one. I think that the Chargers defense has some holes in it, and but Minnesota's doesn't. You know what? That's not. Eesh. Minnesota can really defend. The Chargers don't have great tackles. They have Austin Deculus starting in attack.
No, they don't. He's hurt.
But yeah, he's hurt. It's somebody worse than Deculus, yes. If that's possible.
Yeah. That's right.
Yeah, he probably should have played a total. Maybe I'd go with John Chill and go under.
Under.
This is a gross game. I don't like this one.
No.
I don't like this. At one bit.
I don't like laying 3.5 with that team right now. That's for sure.
No, and I don't like.
Yeah.
Golly, the Chargers were in the catbird seat early on, but now they're sitting here at 4-3. You got Denver winning a bunch of games. You got Kansas City looking like maybe the best team in the AFC. Certainly with Rashee Rice, it's not going to be fun for everyone else.
Nope. What did we miss today, Dell?
Anyone new get arrested while we've been gone? I mean, since three NBA, well, one player, one former player, and a head coach have all been arrested for
So if you missed it, the law, the FBI, came down on Damon Jones, Chauncey Billups, and Terry Rozier. All have been arrested this morning.
Put it in reverse, Terry.
For Damon Jones and Chauncey Billups, they just had a presser. The FBI, Cash Patel, spoke. Apparently, Chauncey Billups and Damon Jones were what you would call face cards. That's what they called them. They were the people who because they were going to be at the game, got people to show up at these poker games. They both were in on it, and the operation was to dupe, as the FBI called them, the fish. So you use Chauncey and Damon to get people at the game, and then illegal means were used to steal money from participants in the game.
So it wasn't even on the level.
No. They.
Somebody was using a mechanic.
They were used to make the game look legitimate, get high rollers, or at least people who are willing to spend money. Because, hey, let's play poker with Damon and Chauncey. And then Damon and Chauncey were in on that scheme. And money was stolen from participants.
And then Worm used his mechanics grip.
They were using machines, and they had a guy off site that had a machine, and then the guy would send information back to someone on site.
Yeah.
And that's how they duped the people playing cards.
This is bad.
According to the FBI, allegedly.
How they found out about
this is way worse than Jessica Chastain.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, this is literally you're stealing. This is theft.
Yeah, they were stealing people. And
an illegal poker game, and then you throw some theft in it.
Chauncey, why?
And the two big names were in on it. They knew all about it, according to the FBI.
Chauncey's going to say, I didn't know anything about this.
Yeah. Well, somebody ratted them out.
Well, or somebody got their money stolen and they went to the FBI. Oops. Yeah.
Yeah, somebody got their money stolen.
Yeah.
They got somebody.
Is it ratting when somebody steals your money through illegal means of a poker game? That ain't ratting.
Maybe the FBI approached someone who was involved, and then they started to rat.
Yeah, somebody went to the FBI. The FBI got somebody at the game, and he admitted it and said that Chauncey and Damon were doing it. And
yeah, we were stealing. No. What?
Yeah.
What are you going to do about it?
Ooh. Arrest you?
Yeah.
We'll arrest everybody.
Yeah.
You're all
so
gone.
What's the deal with Terry Rozier?
That's about sports betting. And apparently, according to the FBI, Terry Rozier, among others, but him specifically as the big name, use inside information about whether guys are going to be healthy or they're going to be able to play and gave that to people to make money.
I thought Damon was doing that too.
That didn't come out as far as the FBI, at least from what I heard so far. Terry Rozier was about the sports betting. And the other two were about illegal
poker games. Yeah.
Which tied to the mafia.
Oh, my goodness.
Insider trading.
Chauncey, what are you doing?
And so the question is, you said it, John. What are you doing? How did you get in this? Did you owe people and that's why you had to take part in it? Or you just thought, hey, I like scheming and I wanted to do it? So why is Chauncey Billups involved? Why is Mr. Big Shot involved in this? Because he just thought it'd be fun to take people's money? Or was he in big to someone and had to make up for it?
I had to do this. Yep.
This is all terrible.
And if he's got to come up with if he does and says, well, I was, being coerced into this because
it's all terrible.
How ugly this could get. How ugly this could get.
Well, what happens then?
Yeah,
if he's coerced, what does that have to do with anything?
I'm not sure that the NBA is going to want him coaching again.
No.
Ever? Yeah.
No,
he's not. I don't know.
Unless he gets off scot-free, and even then, they're not going to like the association.
And the Blazers, I haven't seen anything from the Blazers yet. I imagine administrative leave is going to be a statement they make today, considering they're in the middle of an NBA season. They got a game, I think, tomorrow. Yeah. They got to make a decision.
Well, yeah, he's going to be suspended for at least this.
Yeah, I don't know what the terms are, but yeah, he's going to be away from the team.
Well, good news.
He's arrested, so it doesn't matter.
Bad
it's not like he can coach.
Bad news for him and Damon, but good news for you. The plain white tees are going to be here October 26th.
Good news for who? Me?
For you, yeah.
I don't care about the plain white tees.
Well, kind of some emo rock for you, so there
I don't,
you go.
I haven't cared. Hey there, Delilah. Yeah, that's the one song anyone knows from like 20 years ago. Hey there, Delilah.
That's your jam.
It's not my jam.
Yeah, well,
stop putting stuff on me that isn't true.
People are saying
kind of feel like it
is. You know what would happen? Lance would definitely be a snitch. He's got all the vibes of a snitch. Like,
how?
He'll, well, you're
Mac?
Already lying on me about things.
Dirty Mac?
Oh, that too. But you just put stuff on people for no reason. You didn't have to put the plain white tees on me. You just wanted to. You got all the snitching in you.
No, that's not snitching.
No, I'm not saying that's snitching.
That's making a. That's deductive reasoning.
No, that's not snitching. Yeah, that's you have snitching tendencies. You like to speak, you like to talk, and you like to put stuff on people for no reason.
You say I'm Dirty Mac. You can't be a snitch and a Dirty Mac at the same time.
You can too.
Yes, you can.
No, you can be both.
Why not?
Doesn't make any
you just
sense.
Make that up. Of course you can.
You don't make any sense to me.
Well, you just made it up. You can be a snitch and a Dirty Macker. You can be a Dirty Macker when it comes to women.
By the way, John, there's no more Dirty Macking because our girl Melissa's gone.
Well,
now.
She's not the only one you were Dirty Macking to.
So all of the show, El Chero,
wait a minute,
Mabel, and now
Melissa go?
Gone. She quit.
Melissa quit?
Yeah.
Resigned.
She resigned, wow. So she's
wow.
done.
No Melly Blanco.
No Melly Blanco, so the show's done.
Wow. So who are you going to give chips to?
All three of them that I brought chips to, guess what? They're all gone. Maybe chips are bad luck.
Yeah.
I may have brought them some bad luck Sun chips.
Maybe you're the Hispanic radio killer, like a coach killer.
You know, maybe.
Maybe you're getting called into an office. Maybe there are problems.
They're gone.
Wow.
I don't know, but our girl's gone.
That's
first, Alex Citron, who's her good friend, and she covers the Astros, by the way, too. She's big, like she's got a legit journalism degree. Like she thought our show is just full of clowns. She's like, I do this for real. You guys are just a bunch of clowns.
Who said this?
Well, probably Melissa.
She never said that. See,
she probably thought that.
Once again, putting something on someone for
though.
No reason. Listen to him.
It's deductive reasoning.
John,
you know?
You asked a question. What? Melissa really said that? Of course she didn't. That's Lance.
Yeah, but I wouldn't surprise me if she did. I say that. Yeah. How could she not say that from the outside looking in?
In fairness, everybody says that.
Your dad, your own dad said John was a clown and you're a court jester.
John is a clown and you're a court jester. And you're a snitch and a Dirty Macker. Which one's worse?
No.
I think we have our answer.
Dirty Mac, I'll cop to it. Only out of, and I very begrudgingly. But not the snitch.
They could give.
We don't know if he snitched yet. We just think he will.
He's got snitch tendencies.
No.
If you gave him some Raising Cane's, even without the dipping sauce, he'd tell immediately.
Not if you don't have the sauce.
No, if the FBI sat him down, hey, you're hungry. You look hungry. You do the morning show. You didn't eat. We saw you. No skinny pop today.
I'll say,
give him some Raising Cane's without the dipping sauce. He'll tell all.
No, I won't. I'll say, where's the crinkle fries? Where's the sauce? Do you have extra sauce?
You take some
crinkle fries are the truth.
Some Texas toast and you're done. We're all done here. If you give some Texas toast.
The crinkle fries do put it over
they
the top.
Slap.
Stop it. There's
might
as the chicken
too.
Fingers.
Yeah. See?
I mean, might snitch too.
Snitching for food is radio 101. We do anything for food. Oh, we're all done.
There's news of the weird. You know what was weird?
Lance, your little stuff.
Yeah, Lance snitching was weird. Yeah.
It's not weird. It's on brand is what it is.
It actually kind of is. It is kind of on brand. All right, we're done. Mopey and Mapes next right here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Before I go, I want to talk about my peeps over at HR&P. I want to talk about a great business that helps your business. Business, it's B2B, right? Because you don't need payroll at home. It just doesn't make any sense. What makes sense, though, is your business needing payroll. Okay, you got to get your people the money. You got to get your people paid, right? You want to do it perfectly. You want to do it so that there's no mistakes. You want to do it so that it doesn't cost you as much, right? You want to do it as efficiently as possible. Well, do you think that you're better at this than a company that has the technology that is second to none in the industry? It's proprietary. Mike Holly, people, he says, I can't tell you how many times people have tried to buy my technology, and he won't give it up. No, he says, I'm going to keep on doing this for my people. And so you don't do it better than HR&P. You don't. You don't do it as economically as they do. You don't do it as perfectly as they do. You don't do the HR as well because, you're just not as good at it. You don't do taxes as well because, you're not a tax expert like they have at HR&P. So they just do it better. Why would you try to do something that you don't do, that you can't do as efficiently or economically as HR&P can do it? So you want to look into your business. You want to save money. You want the bottom line to be better. You want to be more efficient. All of those things. HR&P. We love them. Every one of our clients, their clients come in and they do testimonials for them. That'll tell you something. HRP.net, 281-880-6525 or HRP.net.
ESPN 97.5.